you please be seated? As we come into God's presence, let's hear some verses of Scripture. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I do extend a sincere welcome to you all this afternoon. We know that funeral services are sad and solemn occasions as we remember the passing of loved ones or dear ones. However, the funeral services of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ are also marked by the sure and certain knowledge that they are with Christ, which is far better. And such is certainly the case with our brother in Christ, Robin Bird. So we sorrow, we grieve this afternoon, the passing of a loved one, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. May the living God, in whose presence Robin now is, bring peace and comfort to Margaret and to the extended family and to all gathered here this afternoon. And may God be glorified in every aspect of our time together. There are a few notices. Following this service, the interment will be at the graveyard of St. John the Baptist Church in Alsford. This will be for the immediate family only. However, Margaret and all the family extend a welcome to everyone to come for refreshments at the John Pearson Hall of Alsford. That's not hard to find because it's attached to St. John the Baptist Church. And you'll find there's a map and directions at the front of the church if you're unfamiliar with Alsford and want to know how to get there. So, and let me just also say this. There's to be a Thanksgiving service for Robin's life, and that will be held at Horsley Evangelical Church, and the date for that is yet to be decided. Those are all the notices. Now, Isaiah speaks in his prophecy of one to come who he says would be as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And it's not surprising that Robin, who built his life on that rock, whispered the opening words of our next hymn in his final moments. And he desired that it be sung here at this funeral service this afternoon. So we're going to stand to sing the opening hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. We stand to sing.
My river side which flowed, be
Testament and from Paul's letter to the Ephesians at chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Amen. And we thank God for his own precious word. A long-standing friend of both Robert and Margaret and the family is going to come and lead us in prayer, Mr. John Webber. Thank you.
Just a few verses to center our thoughts as we come and spend a time of prayer. A few verses from 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And one or two verses in Revelation, which I think are really helpful. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, they may rest from their labours, for their deeds follow them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. We come to rejoice that we can come with boldness to the throne of grace. We thank you for so great a salvation that even the angels desire to look into. And we just rejoice in this. And we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and for your grace in what you've done. And we just come to thank you for your goodness to Robin over many, many years. We thank you that he saw the great truths of the resurrection, that you rose from the dead, that you conquered all that men fear most. And so, Lord, we just cry out and we just thank you and praise you. And we thank you that he is there in your presence now. We just thank you for that and for all you've done and the strength and the help and the courage and the gifts that you've given him. We're reminded in that hymn that there is a land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign, and where infinite day excludes the night. And Lord, we just at this time also pray for Margaret and the family. We just ask that you would bless them and comfort and give them all the consolation of your word and your strength and of the Holy Spirit. That you would lift them up and bless them and strengthen them. And Father, help them as they face the future, that you are their Father, their comfort, and their strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
I ought to mention that Robin chose all the hymns this afternoon, including this next one that we're to sing. Object of my first desire, Jesus crucify for me. All to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee, thee to praise, and thee to know, constitute our bliss below, thee to see, and thee to love, constitute our bliss above. Shall we stand to sing? From Horsley Evangelical Church has been Robin and Margaret's pastor in recent years, and he's going to come to us now and bring a message from God's Word. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Not only has Robin chosen the hymns, he's also chosen the text that I have to preach on. He gave me this text some time ago. The text is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 2, which reads, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. Seems a rather odd thing to say at first, does it not? Which would you choose given a chance? To visit a home where there has been a death? To join mourners who gather together after a funeral? Or to go to a house where the people are celebrating a birthday or some anniversary? Which would you naturally choose? Well, the writer is quite clear which is better. He says it's better to go to a house of mourning rather than to go to a house of feasting. And we say, why? Well, the second half of the verse helps us. Because the second half says, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. So the reason why it is better to go to a house of mourning rather than a house of feasting is because we will all die one day. Death is the destiny of every man. One day people will attend our funeral. And the writer says the living should take this to heart. One day I will be in the coffin. And says the writer to us, you should think about that day. Do not forever put that thought of that day of your own death to the back of your mind. Do not always relegate that, the subject of death, as being taboo. Now, the writer is not saying we should be morbid, forever thinking about death. But he is telling us that it is wise to think such things over. It is better to consider it and prepare for such a day before it happens. But again, we may ask why. Why should I think about the day of my death? Well, the answer to that comes later in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the very last verse, in fact, where the writer tells us, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And a few verses before that, also in the final chapter, he says, remember him, remember God, before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Remember him. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So it is wise to think about the day of our own death, because God will bring every one of our deeds and actions into judgment. It is better to go to the house of mourning rather than the house of feasting, because potentially it will help me to prepare for the day I die. Potentially it will help me to prepare for the day of judgment before God. The house of mourning will teach me more. Potentially. And this fits in with verses just after the text verse in chapter 7. Verse 4 of chapter 7 says, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure." Then he says, "Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools." Relaxation is good. Birthday parties have their place in life. Our writer is not a killjoy, but his quest in this book is to seek out the meaning of life. And the ultimate meaning of life is not found in the house of feasting. Rather, it has to do with being in a right relationship with God, who is my creator. We need wisdom, therefore, to prepare us for that day when we will all stand before God. The question is, where do we find it? Where do we find this wisdom? The answer is from God. Wisdom comes from God. We find it in the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible. And the reading that we had from Ephesians is a great help to us. There's no time, of course, to look at this passage in any detail. But very quickly, we learn from this passage in Ephesians that we are not as ready for the day of our death or the day of our judgment as we may think we are. Because we are not as good as we may think we are. Paul uses a rather shocking phrase. Did you pick it up in the reading? He says, naturally, we are all children of wrath. That is to say, children upon whom the righteous anger of God is. He also tells us in this very passage, Ephesians 2, that we are naturally spiritually dead, even under the just condemnation of God because of our sins. So, if we are to be ready for the day we die, if we are to be right with God, it will certainly not be through our good works or through our merit, because actually we have none of these things before a holy God. Yet there is a way for us to be right with God. There is a way whereby we can be declared perfectly righteous even before a holy God. And this way, God has provided for us because, as Ephesians tells us, he is a God of great love. Because of his kindness and mercy and grace to lost sinners like us. And this way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, his Son. The text says we are all spiritually dead, naturally, but we can be made alive with Christ as we trust in him. We may be naturally children of God's wrath, but we can become children of God, even those who are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms in the age to come, if we will trust in Christ, the Christ who died upon the cross for sinners, the Christ who rose again on the third day for our justification. Perhaps that's why God has brought you to this house of mourning today. So that you might hear again, or even hear for the first time, the gospel, the good news, that in Jesus Christ there is the forgiveness of sins, that in the Lord Jesus there is eternal hope, eternal life, salvation from the wrath to come. I know that Robin wanted his funeral service to be an occasion for his friends, and he said to me, particularly his family, to think carefully about their relationship with God. And yes, about the day that they too will die. But more than that, Robin wanted his funeral to be an occasion where the Lord Jesus Christ was declared to be the Saviour of all who will trust in him. Robin did. Robin trusted with all his heart in Jesus Christ. He could say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He loved Christ. He served Christ. He witnessed for Christ. And now he is with Christ, which is far better. But his desire was that we should all trust in the Saviour as he did, so that when we do face the day of death, our day of death, we may face it with that quiet confidence that he did. The confidence that the Saviour will receive us. The Saviour is able to save all who come to him in repentance and in faith. Amen.
I'm going to sing the third hymn. Lord, it belongs not to my care whether I die or live. To love and serve thee is my share, and this thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short, then why should I be sad to soar to endless day? What a wonderful hope is the Christian hope, that sure and steadfast in Christ. So we stand to sing this hymn together.
Comes my
Let us pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory. For ever and ever. Amen.